I hope maybe this past week you've looked at yourself as maybe not just another brick in the wall, but as an important brick in the wall. Over the years, I've listened to a lot of music. Church music is my favorite. I like to sing the old hymns, and some of the new stuff along the way is, it kind of fits in. But I've listened to a lot of stuff that's maybe not what you'd call godly. You turn on your radio and, hey, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and here we are. There was a lot of good music back then, and referred to one song last week. The title of this morning's message is Harmony and Me Are Pretty Good Company. That line comes from an Elton John song back from the 70s. Elton John and his, Bernie, whatever his name is, wrote the song. And it just a line in the song. You read the lyrics and has nothing else to do with it, but there you go. As we get into the scripture, I want to look at chapter 3. Where are we at? To sum up. Start with 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. That's where we're going to start. He says, Peter writes, to sum up, let all be harmonious. That's where I got that word harmony from. Let all be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. Think about that word harmony for just a minute. We think of harmony a lot of times as it refers to music. It's, we have melody and we have harmony. Melody is everybody singing the same note. There's a line of melody, and this is the basic tune. So we all sing the same note, and we have melody. We sing the song, and it sounds okay. It really starts to sound better, though, when you get a few people singing different notes that blend. And this blend that is pleasing to the ear is what we call harmony. If it's not pleasing to the ear, it's called something else. But this concept of harmony, it's pleasing. It's the different notes working together. And when Peter says, let all be harmonious, we're all the different notes. We are the different notes. But have you ever noticed sometimes we work together, and it's a pleasing sound, and sometimes we just don't, and it's not very pleasing. Why don't we work together? Why do we end up having these what should sound like music and sweet music sounds just like noise that you want to turn off and tune out? When I was looking, I looked up the words for this Harmony and Me song. The rest of them are totally meaningless, as far as I'm concerned. They don't have any value at all. But in the process of looking up this concept of harmony, they referred me to another song that is a blend of harmony. It's not a spiritual song, and it's not a spiritual group. It's one of my favorite groups to listen to. It's from Queen. Pretty much a godless bunch of people, but they had really good music, if you go back and listen to it. And if I mention the Bohemian Rhapsody, you understand, you've heard that song, but that's one of the songs that they refer to when they talk about harmony, because these guys are singing different notes, they're playing their different instruments, and it's all coming together, and it's a pleasing sound, and they do it very well. Peter's kind of challenging us to do this same kind of thing in the church as Christians. How do we get along in this world that is so disharmonious? We live in the world, and you turn on the news, and you see people that all they want to do is fight and argue. You turn on the news, and there are people killing each other. Pretty much, I didn't watch the news this morning. I'm not sure where they killed somebody today or last night, but I can pretty much guarantee that it's there. Can't we all just get along? You know, it's a simple request. It's a simple concept. Can we? Absolutely we can. Why don't we? In this great world of 7 or 8 billion people, why can't we get along? Because there's too many people? That's absolutely not the reason. The reason is because of selfishness. Because I'm more important than you are. You should listen to me. And I don't have to listen to you. There's a word that flows through this little letter that Peter wrote that I think is a significant word. And that word is submit. He goes back to, if you go back to the previous chapter, chapter 2, look at verse 13. He says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to the king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of the evildoers and the praise of those who are righteous. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. This concept of submit yourselves. What does this word submit mean? To place yourself under someone else. From the standpoint that they have authority over me. So I place myself under their authority. Sometimes we do it willingly, and sometimes begrudgingly, and sometimes because of force. If you fail to follow the human institutions that Peter talks about here, whether to the king or to the governor, you may find yourself imprisoned for a bit. And you may take your willfulness to prison with you, but then there's, okay, not only did I listen to music, but I've watched a few movies along the way. Cool Hand Luke. If you're not familiar with Cool Hand Luke, it's a Paul Newman movie, and he was a war veteran that got kind of misguided and drunk and was cutting the heads off, took a pipe cutter and was cutting the heads off of parking meters, and they put him in prison for this for a while. And the poor fella just, he just could not get a hold of this idea of submission. He was a willful individual. And they had him do a lot of things. He spent the night in the box a lot of times. he had to shovel up, he had to shovel a hole over here, and then because this boss's dirt was in this boss's yard, he had to shovel it back and in and out, and just, they did their very best to break his spirit, but he would not submit. And I guess there's a sense in which that's noble. We look at that kind of that concept as noble. You can't break my spirit. I'm sorry. Once in a while, if you can look out the window and just see this guy on there, it's not a. He's standing on this kind of a thing. I'm amazed. Anyways, don't worry. Is that what it is? Some kind of hoverboard kind of thing? Anyways, he's waiting for the light to turn green. Now it's turned green. Now he's going up the road. That just... I've had more than my share of distractions this week. Anyways, let's get back to this concept of submission. Traditionally, in this nation, we are a nation that is here because we don't want to submit. Our ancestors here did not want to submit to the rule of England. They wanted to make their own life. They wanted to be in charge of their life and their destiny and how their tax money was spent or collected. And whether it impacts your wallet or your spirit, this concept of submission is one that's rather foreign to us. It doesn't come naturally. I don't want to submit to those to the powers that be. I don't always want to submit. I choose to submit frequently. That's why I have insurance now, because the government said, you have to or we're going to fine you. All right? So now we have this big chunk of money coming out of every month and it goes to pay the insurance. For what? I'm not sure, but there we are. And I don't have this submissive attitude, but I'm having this submissive do the right thing. May not feel like doing the right thing, but I do it anyways. Driving down the highway, when you've got this speed limit sign that says, this is the speed limit, believe it or not, it's not my choice to obey the speed limit all the time. But I do submit to the human authority, because there is the safety concept. There is the legal concept that if you don't take care of your driver's license, they can take it from you. And then there's the financial. You get a traffic ticket, and it costs you money. I choose not to pay that. So I'll follow the law. Just the same way as you come to a stop sign or a stoplight, it says if it's red or if it says stop, it doesn't mean look both ways and keep on getting it. It means come to a stop. Your tires are to stop rolling. You're to be stopped before you proceed. And then you proceed only when it's safe. These are just a couple simple examples of this concept of yielding, submitting to the human authority that's placed over us. God put these people in charge over us so that we can live in harmony, some degree of harmony, because of the selfishness of human nature. We want our own way. If we all get our own way, what's it going to be like? Let's just say there are no speed limits on the highways. There's no speed limits on the road. Where we can say, okay, it's safe to go 25 miles an hour through this section of town. Why 25? Why not 125? Let's just zip through there as quick as we can. How fast can I go without turning my vehicle over? I can do this. Okay, when I was a teenager, I used to travel the back roads this way. How fast can I go before I'm going to lose traction? You can tell when these gravel roads that you're going around there and you start just before it lets loose and you spin around. You begin to get a sense of, that's my limit. I can't take this car around that turn any faster than this. But I can take it around that fast, which is a lot more than what the speed limit says I can. But what if somebody's coming the other way? Sorry about your luck, buddy. Hit the ditch. Submit yourselves. For the Lord's sake, submit. I don't want to submit. There's this spirit inside me that I want to do it my way. I don't need to submit to you. Why do you think you're better than me? Why do you think you're smarter than me? I mean, these people in government, I mean, sit down with me sometime and we'll debate the issues. And why... How did they get there to begin with? Who are these people that are in government? Yeah, I go and cast my vote, but for what? The lesser of the evils? Aren't there better people that could, people that I would rather have in charge? I don't always get to make the choices. And a lot of times when I cast my ballot, it's not for the guy that won. Sometimes it's disappointing. Usually it doesn't work out. Either way, it doesn't work out the way I thought it was going to. If the guy that I voted for wins, I don't get what I voted for some reason. Anyways, does that mean because he's not the guy I voted for, I don't have to listen to him? It's not the way it works. Because he doesn't do what he promised, I don't have to listen to him? That's not the way it works. What does God tell us to do? Submit for the Lord's sake. Then he goes down here, just a few verses on down. He says, verse 18 in chapter 2, he says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. Servants, and we're not talking just about a master-slave situation. If you got a job, you're a servant. You get a paycheck, somebody signs that paycheck, you have a responsibility to that person to give them your best. This is what Peter would have to say. Well, what if you're the boss? You're still subject to the human authorities, so you have to follow the laws and how you deal with your employees. What if you're unreasonable as a boss? What if my boss is unreasonable? Do I have to listen to him? Absolutely you do. Okay, you're not a slave, so you do have a choice as to whether you stay there and work for him, but maybe you have bills to pay. So you may not have a choice as to whether you stay and work. You may have to stay and work, whether you want to or not. Do you work grudgingly? Do you give him the bare minimum? Do you resist when he's not looking? You just take a chair and don't do what you're supposed to do? There are a lot of people that take those attitudes with them into the workplace. Are those godly Christian attitudes? What does Peter say? No. He says, servants, be submissive to your masters. I don't like this concept of master. Somebody mastering me, telling me what to do. Again, we don't like to be told what to do. When we're kids, we don't like to be told by our parents what to do. There's this constant desire to rebel. I want it my way. I want to do it my way. Sometimes my way would actually be better. Sometimes there's nothing wrong with doing it my way. Why do I have to submit? I don't want to submit. Just because I don't want to doesn't mean I don't have to. And Peter, when Peter is talking about this concept of submission, he's not saying, well, wait till they come and stand over you with a sword or a club and beat you into submission. There is that concept of being beaten into submission. This one won. They're more powerful. They're stronger than you are. So you don't have a choice but to submit. Peter is telling you, you do have a choice. Submit. He's saying if you want to submit, if you've placed yourself under the submission of God, place yourself under the submission of these others too. So you get along. Concept of harmony again. Then we get down to jump down another few verses. Chapter 3, verse 1. And this is one that's going to hit a sore spot with some of our ladies. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. We have been told in this country for the last 40 years at least that we've had this women's movement that tells us that women are every bit as equal as men. Women have no need or reason to be submissive. This concept of being submissive to a man is demeaning. at the very least. And it's just, it's a concept that men use to kind of lord it over their wives. It's a man's world, and women have every much the right to be there as a man. And there is a concept of there is some concept to this equality. A woman's doing a job that's the same job as a man would do. Does she deserve equal pay for that? Absolutely she does. But we're not talking about the workplace. We're talking about wives and husbands. I've listened to this WNLR radio out of Churchville, and some of the different programs that they put on there. And the last 6 months, I've heard several different women talk about this concept of being submissive wives, and the blessings that come along with this concept of being submissive. Are you being submissive to somebody that is less than perfect? Absolutely. If the husband is honest with himself, he'll realize that he has flaws, character flaws, flaws in his thinking, flaws in his actions. There's none of us that are perfect. So you should submit yourself to somebody that's not perfect. Understand this from what Peter says. It is not your husband's role to force you into submission. It is your role as a wife to just be submissive to your husband. Should he reason with you? Should he listen to your opinion and act on your opinion as well? There was a, read some when I was looking at this and the concept of harmony, and ended up reading this little section that said that the Russians did some kind of a poll here. They polled 100 men in this community as to who was in charge in the family, the husband or the wife. And in 90 of these families, the wife said she was submissive, and the husband agreed. And there were some that said the men said that they were the ones who were in charge, and the wife disagreed. But then there was one family in this whole community, out of this 100 people that were taking this survey, and I said, well, who's in charge in this family? And the wife said the husband. The husband said he was in charge. And they were amazed. And okay, you win the prize. What would you like for your prize to be? So he looked over and said, Martha, what do you think? So husbands, if you want your wives to be submissive, maybe the way to go about this is to ask them what they think, or how should we do this. But the concept is, it's not the husband's role to make you submissive. It's your role as a wife to be submissive. Then he goes over, there's another submissive one. We jump over to chapter 5. He's talked a little bit about elders here, the shepherds of the flock, and he comes down here in verse 5. He says, you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And he's not referring here to the elders who have been chosen to be the leaders of the church. He's just talking about the old guy down the street. The old guy and your grandfather type person, your father, the elders. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We have a problem sometimes with this concept of humility. That's why we don't want to be submissive. We're proud. I'm intelligent, I'm strong, I can do this, why do I need to listen to somebody else? Because when we listen to somebody else, when we submit ourselves to one another, to authorities, to our spouses, to our bosses, we end up living in harmony. Concept of harmony, pleasant music. You like listening to good music? I like to turn my radio on and listen to good music, whether it's Christian music or rock and roll or country or the different, all the different genres. I like it to be good music. When God sees his children, those who have chosen his name, interacting with the world, he wants to see, he wants to hear good music. He wants to hear us living harmoniously. There's some other concepts that he's listed here in this verse 8 in chapter 3. The sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted. But this last one that he mentions, the humble in spirit. If you want to live harmoniously, you're going to have to be humble in spirit. I want to close here by looking at the few verses that Peter mentions. Verse 6 in chapter 5 and down through here a little ways. He says, humble yourselves, therefore. And this concept of humility is a concept of, it's a submissive concept. Who do you think you are? Well, if you put it that way, usually when somebody says, who do you think you are? Well, I've screwed up, haven't I? Stand before God. Who do you think you are? Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And I like this last part, that he may exalt you at the proper time. You want to be somebody? You humble yourself before God. He'll lift you up. He will exalt. He'll see that your praises are sung if they need to be sung. And if not, he may just ask you to stay humble. Casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. This is the key to humility, the key to submission. You are humble and you submit because God cares for you. You submit to his will and you will receive blessings. You submit to his will because he cares for you. He knows what the good thing for you is. He's got good plans for you. He goes on here, and this verse, we got to put this in here, verses 8 and 9. Because in all of this, in this area of humility and submission and this desire to rebel, because I just... Even if I want to be a humble and submissive person, and I get to this point of thinking that I'm there, I'm humble, I'm submissive, look at me. Well, there's a pitfall in that. And where Peter reminds us, he says, be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Peter, a man who, as we saw in the Gospels, was sometimes impetuous, sometimes put his foot in his mouth, sometimes doing just exactly the wrong thing, saying the wrong thing. Now, in his older years, in his years of experience of serving his Lord, of being humble and submissive, sharing with us some of the keys to living a harmonious life, to living a life that's pleasing to God. He says, Satan is right there waiting for you not to be submissive, and then he's won. He's waiting for you not to be humble, and he's won. He's like this lion that wants to eat you, and he will eat you alive and not think a thing about it, because he doesn't care for you. Who's the one that cares for you? It's God. Can we learn to be submissive? Can we practice submission? It's a challenge. But our first practice of submission is to submit ourselves to Christ, to come to him and accept him as our Lord and Savior.